Our scripture lesson today is in Luke chapter 2, starting in the 21st verse. We'll call that part 1. Luke chapter 2, 21st verse. Luke, the doctor, the physician, writing from the scrolls for his uncle Theophilus, continues the story. Verse 21, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what has been said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. May God add his blessings to that as we get ready to go into his word and seek him out in all things. Would you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask that these words that ramble from me make sense, that they are coherent and strong, and that they lift us up and challenge us and point us along the way, Father. We ask these words from you be what we need for this week to come, and to teach us, rebuke us, love us righteously, and lead us through the path we need take. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Amen. So, brand new year, right? Say amen.
Amen.
And I got word this week that the brand new year starts off in the most perfect way for me. I'm getting another tractor. Woohoo! It's free. I love those kind. All I can do is look at my wife and go, she's looking at me like, oh, golly, here we go again. And now it's underway. And so now what? We're preparing for it. Right? We're thinking about this new year, this new life. And I've seen people writing things like, I just want to stay in bed until it's the year 2020 after what 2018 has done to me. What? Things like, is this year over yet? And the one I've seen a lot, 2019, another chance to fail. What? How in the world can you be of that mindset? And the thing is, because I'm on social media, because I like to be. I'm on Facebook for the same reasons all of you all are. I'm looking for tractors and trucks and motorcycles and all that kind of stuff, right? That's what everybody's on there for.
Sure.
And if I see one more thing that says, I sure hope it rains some more. I almost drove my car off the road this week when I heard them down Balmer talking about the weather. How we ended with 6 feet of rain this year. 6 feet of rain. And they said that this year is going to be another rainy year. Oh, good grief. And Greg and I were just up here talking. We're ready for that snow, right? One good snow. Axle deep on a Ferris wheel. That's what I want. Just one of them. And we'll all be good. But a lot of these things that I've read to you, and many more like it, are posted by people that I know are Christians. I'm a little lost when I see a Christian do that. I mean, honestly, what did you forget? Because it's a new year? Because you didn't get what you wanted at Christmas? Because you're unhappy about something? You want to tell the whole world, I just want to stay in bed. And I think to myself, you're not understanding the second step. You've lost your way. Apparently, you've lost what you need to understand what this time brings. So here are some sayings that are going to lend, that I'm using to lend positivity to this new year for myself. And feel free to write them down. They are not copyrighted. You may use them to help yourself bolster up through this January and get ready. So here's the first one. I am going to finally get another tractor. You can use that one. I'm going to fix the tractors in the yard. I am not going to be the one this year that forgets our anniversary again. If you've been around us, you know that we've both taken turns forgetting our anniversary. And you know, we got married on July 1st because, and I quote my wife in saying, that way we won't forget it and we'll always know when it is. So these are my positivity sayings. Why? Because I'm ready for that second step. I'm ready to see what's in store. Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. was a member of the United States Supreme Court for 30 years. His mind and wit and work earned him the unofficial title, the greatest justice since John Marshall. At one point in his life, Justice Holmes explained his choice of career by saying, I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers. Like this. This is the word of the Lord. May it be joyful unto you. May you find what is it that you are searching for. And that is precisely what we see when people forget what's coming now. And that is the three letters of joy. If you're writing stuff like that, you've forgotten your joy. You've forgotten what you had. You have survived the Christmas season, and now all you can think about is, when is the next day that I can take off from work? When is it going to get warm again? When is it going to be quitting raining? When is it not going to be so cold? And you are the same people that I will remind in the middle of July that walk around going, when is it going to cool off? Don't lose sight of your joy. Because we are in that second step. We are at a place that is beautiful and wonderful. Now, let me take you back a few steps. Let me remind you, first of all, let's backtrack and get ourselves all together and remind ourselves what happened on December 25th, right? Jesus was born. Say amen. Amen. That's an exciting time. Have we forgotten that already? I've seen people taking their Christmas decorations down. We don't have a tree that, well, we have a fake tree this year because every time we went to get our Christmas tree, it rained. So we put up a fake tree. And I can tell you right now, the fight in the house in about a week will begin. My wife will start trying to take the tree down, and behind her back, I'll start putting the ornaments back on it. And this will go on for about another 2 weeks. I won't let her take the tree down. And she'll be like, but it's time to take. No, it's not. It's not. Last year, we didn't take the tree down until February. Woohoo! We've got friends who don't take them down. They just leave them up all year long because they're really pretty. I think they're lazy, but whatever works. Now, even with the events that have surrounded it, no one yet has understood what has just happened. The magnitude of it, the coming, the birth, was the first step. The first step to us being saved. Now comes step two. 6 miles. A brand new baby, 8 days old. When my children were 8 days old, my wife would not let me touch them unless I went outside and washed and bleached first. I would come through the door and I'd say, hey, let me see them boys. Did you wash your hands? Yeah, I washed my hands. What's that grease all the way up to your elbows? I'd go in and I'd wash. And she'd come back out. She goes, nope, not clean. And I would wash until the skin fell off of my arms. And only then was I allowed to touch my children. And what happened later on was only a matter of time. They were maybe 2 or 3 years old, a little older than Hunter. And my grandfather gave them a little half a peck of strawberries. And they were eating the strawberries. And they kept dropping them in the dirt and picking them up and eating them. And my grandfather said, "That's all part of it, ain't it?" I said, "Yep." Now, if my wife was here, the baby's 8 days old, and now they have to take the second step. They have to load Jesus up and haul him 6 miles to Jerusalem because the law has said so. The baby's 8 days old. How many people in this room remember when you were 8 days old? My father said, and my father was born August 2nd, 1944. He talks about when he was 6 months old, how they would bundle him up in every blanket they could find and take him to church on Sunday through the snow and the cold in a Model T truck that didn't have a front window that would latch and didn't have a back window. And his sisters would sit in between him and my grandmother and my grandfather, bundled up just so they could go to church, 6 months old. My great-grandfather talked about to my grandfather, who related to me, how when he was a baby, he would go to church on a sleigh. In a sleigh! As a baby! You don't even think about that. Oh, we can't take the baby out today. It's just too cold. Or we can't take the baby out because it's raining. Or we can't take the baby into the next room because all the dust that's there. The man came to our house when my children were 3 months old selling the rainbow vacuum cleaners. And I was all set to laugh at him. And my wife was all sitting there watching him. And he did this demonstration where he put a piece of paper in the vacuum cleaner and he vacuumed up my chair. And he pulled that thing out and it was black as tar. And he said, "Do you want your children eating that?" We bought a rainbow vacuum cleaner. My wife said, "It's $2,000. We have to have one. My children are crawling." But Jesus is 8 days old in the desert on a road known for robbery. And they take him to Jerusalem, to the temple, because that is the second step. Babies are there to remind us of what God's plan is. Carl Sandburg, in his book Remembrance Rock, said, "A baby is God's opinion that the world should go on." So now we get to the temple. It's time to follow the law. Good Jewish man, good Jewish wife, going to make their child a Jew. Why? Because that's the rules. That's the law. That's the next step. That's the second step. Purification. Consecration. Present him to the Lord, the firstborn. I do that. Brand new children, we bring them up, we talk them, and we give them over to the Lord. That they be raised up, that they be lifted up. So Jesus, 8, 10 days old, is in the temple. People there that are living hard and brokenhearted are about to see the second step. Keep your Bibles open, please. Luke chapter 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord as Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, you, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." 10 days old. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Man, I reckon that is powerful. Imagine you're walking through the mall with your child, 8, 9 days, 10 days old, and somebody walks up and takes the child out of the cart to bless them. People don't generally put brand new babies in my arms because they're afraid I'll eat them, I think. It wasn't until this year at Christmas that my brand new niece, Ivy, actually laid on my chest. And she laid on my chest crying. And when she got on my chest, boom, out she went. Because she was happy. And I sat there and I looked mightily uncomfortable because she's only this big and I'm holding her. And it was a great thing because her mother is very cautious. My wife was not. She gave them children to whoever would hold them. Here, you want to hold a baby? Here's one for you and one for you. But most people with a brand new baby, especially with everything that has surrounded it, would be ultimately cautious of it. But the Bible does not make any doubt to what happened. Simeon walked up and took the child because he knew the second step had come and his joy was being fulfilled. The years of doubt and turmoil were about to be sealed in this moment. It says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In case you've forgotten what that word means, it means to restore, to strengthen, to lift back up, to rejoin. He was waiting for a Savior. And the second step had arrived. He said, I would not die before I saw this child. And those words are so precious to me. I'm now ready to go, Lord. I have seen what you have promised. And I know what I have felt. And I know what this child represents. How powerful is that? For Joseph and Mary to have seen the events, a host of heavenly angels breaking out over top the manger, people coming from near and far to see what's going on, shepherds leaving their flocks in the field, rushing to this manger to walk in and find the baby there. And the greatest thing of all has not even happened yet. We still have to wait a couple of years for the wise men to get there on his birthday. There's so much to be done. But it wasn't enough. Luke continues on in the 36th verse. This is the one I love. This one tears at you. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We gloss over that little moment there with Anna sometimes, I think, personally, way too quickly. Because we just read it real fast. Yeah, Anna, hey, woohoo, I seen the baby. Amen, salvation of Israel. But we don't look at what her story is. She had lived with her husband for only 7 years, and he died. And she went to the temple, and that's where she lived until she was 84. First of all, for someone to be 84 years old in the days of Jerusalem, in the time of Jesus, was a miracle. Do you understand me? A miracle. If you made it to the ripe old age of 50, you were considered somebody. That's why you all should look upon me with thought and understanding, because I am with wisdom. Why does everybody laugh when I say that? She was 84. And she was waiting for the second step, for her joy to be made whole. And it came. And she was put upon immediately. The prophetess knew that Jesus Christ was coming, that the salvation of the world, she had just seen it, and she rejoiced. She had been part of the second step. So on Wednesday, how many people went back to work? I don't see too many hands going up. How many people went back to work happily? Boy, I didn't see hard. A couple hands went up. I was so happy to get back to work. I just couldn't wait. I just ran around. Woohoo! I'm so happy to be back at work on a Wednesday in the middle of the week. Most of us went back to work to the dull and drudgery, and the joy of Christmas went straight out the window. Because by then, the Christmas parties are over. The gifts have been given. The batteries are already worn out. The toys have been broken. The shirts have been worn. All the fudge is gone. Thank you, Nina, for that big, giant tub of fudge. I made sure that it got taken care of. All the Christmas oranges are almost gone. There is no more eggnog. It's over, right? It's over. Christmas is done. Wendy commented that on the 26th of December, the radio station quit playing Christmas music just like that. Gone. So I offered to sing her Christmas hymns. She didn't care for my selection. I love Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And we have forgotten already December 25th. Most of us are thinking about what's coming up. Oh, how cold's it going to be? When's it going to snow? When's it going to rain? I'm tired of going through this mud. I got to go back to work again. I got to catch up on 16,000 emails. I got to get back to where we were. We've got stuff to do. I'm behind in all of this. And we have forgotten the Christmas that just took place. I mean, poor Wendy lost her Christmas radio station. How's she going to hear? And I'm telling you all this so you can get them for her. Her two favorite Christmas songs. Last Christmas and All I Want for Christmas. She loves that Mariah Carey song. I am going to get so smacked later on. But don't worry. We have such a wealth of Hallmark movies, Christmas movies, that we'll be watching them things clean into February. Steph, put your thumb down. Because I'm going to have to sit and watch them with her. And they all end the same way. Have you ever noticed that? I didn't know I loved you until the last 3 minutes of this movie. Let's kiss. Jingle bells, jingle bells. And I look over at my wife, who has a bachelor's degree. She went to college. I've been to college. Well, through them. And she went to college, and I look over, and my wife is, oh, no, so what is it? I'm like, but you, God, give it. So I had proposed to her, let's just watch the last 5 minutes of each movie.
At the beginning of a movie, you know
who's going to happen. Yeah, I know exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. You want me to give you my, here we go. Here's the Hallmark movie, Paul Stein. Ready? Boy meets girl. Boy makes girl mad. Girl doesn't like boy. Girl makes boy mad. They argue with each other for the next 45 to 50 minutes and then suddenly realize they're so much alike. They have to be in love. They kiss. Movie over. Now you can delete all of them. But the joy is over for most people today because you have given up on the second step, but not in Jerusalem. We're seeing that Simeon and Anna have realized what's coming, and they are excited, and their joy is overrun. George Bernard Shaw was quoted as this saying, and this is tough, this is the true joy in life, that being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, the being thoroughly worn out before you are thrown out on the scrap heap, and being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments, grievances, and complaining that the world will not devote itself to you enough to make you happy. That's why you don't have joy, because you think that somebody owes you something. Well, let me break it down for you. You are owed nothing, but you were given everything. Everything. The second step is joy. And when you release it, when you let it get out there, you'd be surprised what goes on around you. I love it when I come in here and I'm wound tight. That's pretty much every Sunday. And some Sundays I'm like, this is the Sunday I'm going to make them get up out of their seats. Do you think I do that because I get some kind of weird, twisted enjoyment out of it?
Yes.
Well, you're right. And not the enjoyment of seeing you go, oh, got to get up out of the seat and shake hands and say some dumb saying that he came up with. I see the faces. I see 70-year-old men, Steve, turn into little children. I don't want it. I make you get up and hold on to one another and be joyful with one another and charge that battery up. If it takes 15 minutes for you all to just move about the sanctuary, it's wonderful because the noise is not noise. It's love, and it's contagious, and it reminds you of what this cross means. That we get to go home from here and remind ourselves that not everything is as bad as we think it is. And that we owe everything. Joy. Jesus, others, and you, right? You know how it goes? Joy. That's the second step. Be joyful. Yes, my knees hurt. Some days they hurt so bad, I can't walk. I get home, I sit down for a couple minutes, then get up and get going again. I have to be careful because it just really gets to me. But I have joy that something's going to take place. It's going to correct it. I have joy that one day I don't have to put up with it anymore. Hopefully when I'm about 100 years old, I don't want to go quite yet. I have joy that I am counted amongst those numbered in the book of life. I have joy that you are as well. And I see joy. Kylie, you don't know what that did to my heart today. That lifted me up so high, I wish I'd had a camera and could have taken a picture of that. Because that is what it means. That's Christianity at work. That's the second step. That's what Jesus Christ gave us. Can you imagine what this world would be like had he not been born? Try it. Pretty dark. At a conference at a Presbyterian church in Omaha, people were given helium-filled balloons and told to release them at some point in the service when they felt like expressing joy in their hearts. See, Presbyterians are not allowed to go, hallelujah and praise the Lord. Say, we're all thankful that we're not Presbyterian, right? Say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Paul needs a tractor.
Paul needs a tractor. Hey, Paul, I'm on your side.
I know. I love you too, Miss Martin. All through the service, balloons ascended. But when it was over, one third of the balloons hadn't been released. See, joy is not ours to keep. You know that? It's not yours to hold on to. You have to give it away. If somebody's hurting, you have to go and reach out to them and give your joy to them and pray for them. If you're the one hurting, you have to remind yourself it is not about you. It is about you asking God to fill you up so that your pain can turn into joy for someone else who's in pain. Have you forgotten those simplistic rules here in the second step? Because we have not seen, and yet we believe, that is joy. Because we have not seen, And yet we believe that is joy. Anybody here actually seen Jesus Christ? Go ahead. I want to see that hand come up. No. You ever seen the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about at work. I mean, physically seen it, like this wood right here. Have you ever seen the wind? It's still there though, right? So is Jesus. So is the Holy Spirit. And so is your joy in knowing. Because you have not seen, you have believed. That is the joy of the second step. And that is the step we take from here on out. We need to approach this time ready, with hunger, with fever, to know that we have Jesus. You know, that Jesus who was born a baby and lived to be a man. A flesh and blood man who did not sin. That Jesus who did not sin. That Jesus who gave His life to pay our debt. That Jesus who stands at the gates of heaven where those who believed that we know and love have gone on and met Him and wait for us for the third step into eternity. We have the joy of knowing where this second step leads because of the birth of Jesus Christ. We have the joy of reading the Scripture. We have the joy of knowing what Simeon and Anna saw. We have the joy of the birth of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Let us not forget, as we walk the second step, do this. Here's my hand, Lord. Take me on through this next step. I'm ready. Fill my heart with that second step joy and carry me along. I believe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we stand in front of a moment that is inspiring, that reminds us of who Jesus Christ is, that lifts us up in so many ways. May we not forget it. May we not be the ones that walk around aggravated and angry, looking like undertakers and teaching people that the joy of Jesus Christ does not show from the face. No, no. Let us be the ones that show that light, that pour it out, that remind ourselves continually, yes, we have ailments, yes, we have pain, yes, we have things go wrong, but we also have Jesus Christ. We have the love of God through Jesus Christ. We are saved because we believe in Him. We are saved for eternity, and we have a home in heaven evermore because of the birth of a baby boy in 2,000 years ago. We should be joyful every day here on this second step. We thank You, Father. We reach out, we praise, and we ask that You lift us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this last hymn, if you have a need, come forward. The bench is open. And I'm here should you need prayer. May God bless each and every one of you.
Please stand and turn to page 196.
Christ the Lord.
We
May God bless you and keep you. May you may be made ready to walk in strength in the week that comes. And if we are not meant to meet together here, then we will do it again on that blissful shore. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and ever. Amen.